Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. As we're continuing to put into this work and hope that we hit the breakthrough for our businesses, we can hear this inner critic at sometimes criticizing us as we do set these big goals ourselves, that self-doubt creeping in, and this is something that can really derail us. So it's really important to ditch that inner critic at work, and that's going to be the focus of this episode. Today's guest is an executive coach who enables mid and senior level professionals to find their next best career step. She is the author of Ditch Your Inner Critic at Work and has been featured in many publications such as the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Fast Company, Harvard Business Review, Glassdoor, and the U.S. World News and World Report. The Certified Positive Psychology Coach is accredited by the International Coaching Federation and is an executive mentor for Healthcare Business Women's Association. Today's guest for episode 144 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Susan Peppercorn. Susan, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, thank you so much. It's really great to be here.
Susan, I'm really excited to have you on the show. I did read your book beforehand, a lot of awesome stuff. That book will be in the show notes. But before we get into the meat of that book, I'm wondering if you could share with us, why did you decide to write the book, Ditch Your Inner Critic at Work?
So I wrote this book because, as you mentioned, I work with a lot of executives, some of them actually on the entrepreneurial path. Some of them have worked for companies before and have decided that they want to start their own business. And what I've seen over and over again is that many clients that I work with, no matter how accomplished they are, suffer with self-criticism, unrealistic self-criticism, and perfectionistic tendencies. And I too suffered with this. And because of my background in learning positive psychology and about things that people can do to break this cycle, I wanted to share that with the world so that people don't have to be victim and slave to a nasty inner critic.
And I mean, I see how like that critic obviously is bigger depending on the individual, but that need for perfectionism definitely makes that critic really strong, and it can make us, we feel like a victim to this critic, and that's why it's so important to get rid of it. And this critic usually comes up when we set really big goals for ourselves. And one of the interesting studies that you mentioned in the book came from the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology. And mm-hmm. you mentioned that people with ambitious utopian visions of the future weren't energized to move forward because they tricked themselves into believing that they already accomplished their goal, even when they hadn't in reality. I say this because people like to set these big dreams, big visions for themselves. And I feel like we all know the importance of goal setting. So mm-hmm. how can we set the vision and do the goal setting without setting it to a point where we trick ourselves into thinking we've accomplished it and then not do enough to move forward?
Right. So I think one of the major issues that people have, Mark, with goal setting is that they think what they need to reach their goal is willpower. When we're, as people and individuals, we're really limited in willpower. What we really need is what psychologists call way power, which means a plan for getting there. So, you know, to use a very common example, if someone wants to start a business, regardless what that business is, they have to identify the steps that they need, A, to launch that business, and also to determine what's going to make it successful. So at the outset, it might be things like building a mailing list, creating a website, developing messaging. But if the goal isn't broken down into those steps, then people tend to fail because they don't know how to get where they're going. And so they kind of lose interest in it after a while. It's like, you know, if you set a goal to lose 50 pounds, you don't lose 50 pounds all at once. If, you know, you lose a pound or two a week, and you do it by changing your behavior and sticking to that behavior. And so whatever the goal is, you also have to know what it is in terms of time and resources that you need. And sometimes people are unrealistic about those things too. They think something can be achieved faster than it can be, or with fewer resources than needed. So those are just a few of the reasons why I would say people really give up on their goals. And, you know, maybe think their goals are unattainable and trick themselves into thinking they're unattainable when they're not. But it's because they don't have a plan and have the resources to get there.
And when we do set these goals and we're not able to accomplish them, that lets the inner critic get a little more power. If you let that happen, and it's easy to let that happen because you thought you're going to accomplish it, you don't, then the inner critic is there the next time that you are setting a goal. So with that in mind, I'm wondering how we can restory our past to bump out that inner critic, because some people may be listening to this have a really bad streak right now, and they're wondering how they can restory what has happened so they can have a better future.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great question. And I think the answer to it lies in how people look at failures that they've had. I mean, because certainly if we're looking back at our past and we look at our successes, then we're going to feel pretty good about them. But it's where we've hit, you know, challenges, or where we've not succeeded, that we tend to fall into that, you know, perfectionistic, self-critical mode. And I have an example in my book where I had a spectacular failure. I was in high-tech sales and marketing for a big chunk of my career, and I had the spectacular failure that wound up on the first page of the business section of the Boston Globe. And I thought not only did I think my career was coming to an end, but I thought my life was coming to an end. That's how devastating it was, and extremely, extremely painful. But I think the way to let go of this highly critical inner voice is to recognize that when you've had a failure, and as I did, this really, you know, spectacular one, that there's something that you learn from it. You know, and, you know, in my case, I learned a lot about how corporate organizations work. I learned about the politics of corporate organizations. And I also learned about my own management, the people who I was working for and with, what they expected. And I also recognized the support that I did not get. So although it was very painful at the time, it was a great lesson for me in the long run. And I think people can really ditch their inner critic if they think of the failures that they've had and what have they learned from them and what have they been able to do as a result of those failures.
And you mentioned that long-term perspective in your book as well, where one of the things that you say is you think about you're in a decision right now, and like a little later down the road, like a few months down the road, are you happy that you made that decision? Are you not happy that you made that decision? So being able to take that long-term view is very important. And with that long-term view, it can make something that seems really horrible right now, something's not working the way it should be, and then putting it into that long-term view, and it doesn't seem as big of a deal. Of course, you address it, but it's not like the end of the world or anything like that. And one of the things that I've noticed, I mean, I've lived in a world where like I've had nothing but internet. I don't recall a time where there was no internet. And a lot of people are really attracted to this idea of working remotely. Like right now I'm doing this in my house, like mm-hmm. I pretty much go anywhere I want, like still have the podcast, no problem. And while it has many perks, one of the interesting setbacks you pointed out is that it hurts our ability to develop meaningful relationships. It's not like you're in the workplace able to interact with people, build relationships. And in some cases, if you build healthy relationships, that can bump out your inner critics. So how do you suggest that we continue to work remotely? Because that's very attractive, but still develop meaningful relationships.
So it's a really good question. And I'll start by answering it and telling your listeners this. All of the science in how and why people are satisfied in their lives has to do with relationships. It is the number one factor, bar none. So there can be other things going well. You might have a great career. You might like what you do. You might have a lot of interests. And even for people who are introverted, they may not need as many relationships, but still and all, we are social beings at our core. And so what I would say for people that are, you know, that have their own side hustles or primary hustles and are working at home, you have got to make and prioritize face-to-face relationships. There is no substitution for them. And so even if you're working at home and, you know, you may be kind of isolated during a few hours, you're not working 24/7. So get out and volunteer in the community. Do something that you enjoy. Meet people that way. Do a sport that you like. Go to a networking event. Whatever it is, prioritize meeting people, and not only meeting them, building relationships with them, which is more than just following somebody, you know, on Twitter or having a friend on Facebook. It's really about meaningful relationships. So I think if as a listener, you realize that relationships are the number one factor and predictor of satisfaction in life, then, you know, just like you take care of yourself with good diet and exercise, relationships should be that important.
And I mean, relationships, I mean, I could go on and on about how they've had an impact on me. And I mean, doing things like volunteering in the community, very simple things like that, put you not just in front of people, but also in front of the right people who are going to help you. Because in that volunteering setting, there are a lot of kind-hearted people. And in networking events, you're going to find people who can help you advance to the next level. So it is very important to build these relationships, even as we continue to work remotely, because that will help with our happiness. And speaking of happiness, one of the things that you mentioned in your book is that meaningful work and the right level of challenge are important factors in career happiness. And I'm wondering, how do we find the intersection of those two things? Because you could do meaningful work, but not set any challenges for yourself, or have the right level of challenge, but do something that you could care less about.
So I would start with what's meaningful to you. I think that's really at the core of it. And if you find what's meaningful to you, the challenge is likely to follow. But I think the mistake that a lot of people make is that they think that happiness is going to come from more money and from reaching your goals and also from greater status. You know, so you get promoted, you start a business, you make more money, you know, you make your first $250,000 or $500,000 or whatever it is. But again, I will tell you that what research shows is that if you're doing it and are miserable while you're trying to get to the goal, you're not going to be happy when you get there. You might be temporarily happy, kind of like buying a new car and it smells good, but then that smell wears off in a few days. You go back to your base level. But if you're enjoying the process along the way, like for you, Mark, you might enjoy podcasting and, you know, meeting people through this process. So it's not just about how many episodes you have or how many listeners you have, which obviously is important. But for you, there's probably something really interesting and exciting about doing it. So that's really the goal around meaning. And, you know, if people are not sure, you know, it's really good to think back over your life, over your career, and think about what are things that you've done that you're really proud of. You know, what What comes to mind when you think of something like that? Because when you think of something that you're really proud of, it generally involves something that you were doing that was meaningful for you. And what's meaningful for one person is not meaningful for another person. You know, and then as far as, you know, setting goals, the idea is really this, that if the goal you set you can achieve easily, when you do it, it's not going to mean anything to you. It's like, you know, if you have a Fitbit and you walk 10,000 steps and you do that, well, then, you know you've walked 4.5 miles, so that's going to feel like an achievement. But if you say, I'm going to walk 1,000 steps today, well, that's not really very challenging. So it's through the challenge that you feel a sense of accomplishment. And again, how that level of challenge is going to differ based upon each individual.
And I want to emphasize you having that feeling of self-accomplishment, because that's something that very few people tend to do. We'll be blind to all the great things we've done and only look at what we haven't done. Like, never really look behind and see all the how far we've come. We look at some of the obstacles instead. And if you're at that position, like, you haven't taken that time to acknowledge yourself in a while, I recommend creating a good at list and just write a list of things that you're good at, you know how to do very well, and put some of your accomplishments in there, just to have that sense that all these incredible things you've done, instead of all the things that you haven't done yet, or all the things that you haven't been able to do perfectly. And I feel like perfectionism is something that really hinders a lot of people from pursuing their big goals and from making the progress that they want to make. So, Susan, how do you recommend that we escape perfectionism?
So I think the first thing to understand is that there's a difference between perfectionism and excellence. Excellence is something that you can define. So if you're working on something, you know what it's going to look like when it's excellent, but how do you measure perfect? The problem with perfect is the goalpost is always moving. And so the reason that perfectionists tend to procrastinate is because they feel that whatever they're doing is never good enough. So they keep redoing it and refining it and redoing it and refining it. And, you know, since you have a lot of entrepreneurs listening to this show, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to get out there ahead of your competition. Now, clearly, you have to be excellent in what you do. You have to be an expert in what you do. But, you know, if you're tweaking your website until it's perfect, somebody else is going to get out there ahead of you. And so you have to know when good enough is good enough and create what that measurement looks like, so you know, and surround yourself with people that will help you to move forward and not get stuck in a perfectionistic rut.
I really love that idea of surrounding yourself with the right people, because your environment does dictate who you become. And that difference between excellence and perfection is also, that's really key, because the excellence, that forced you to get clear on, okay, this is what I want to do, while perfectionism is like no mistakes whatsoever. And that is very stressful to live by. And I feel like perfectionism holds a lot of people back from reaching their full potential. But I'm wondering if there's anything else that you believe prevents us from reaching that potential.
Yes, I would say that. So there's a researcher at Stanford, a psychologist. Her name is Carol Dweck, and she wrote a book called Mindset, very well-respected book. And what she does is she makes a distinction between people who have a growth mindset or people who have a fixed mindset. So people who have a fixed mindset have grown up to believe that whatever capabilities they have, their intelligence, their beauty, their personality is fixed. It was predetermined at birth, and that's the way they're going to be. And that is extremely harsh to live under that belief system. On the other hand, what she has shown is that people who have a growth mindset are the ones that really tend to thrive, because they accept that they can make mistakes. And one of the things that's known is that, you know, college students these days, on the whole, suffer a lot more anxiety than, you know, than students in the past. Some of this had to do with parents, you know, the helicoptering and not letting their kids make mistakes and fail, so that as they were growing up, they're like, well, I can't make any mistakes. My parents expect me to be perfect. And then eventually, all of us, sooner or later, are going to hit, they're going to hit that road bump. And when it happens, if you haven't had small failures and setbacks in the past, then it's going to be devastating when it comes. And, you know, what Carol Dweck has shown in her research is that people that are taught that failure and setback is part of life, and that we can change who we believe we are. That's really the key, is that even if we thought that, okay, we didn't get the highest SATs, so we're not as smart as somebody else, we can still succeed if we have the drive to do it. And that's the belief system that entrepreneurs really have to live by. They have to believe that they can continue to learn and grow, because when you're starting your own business, there are so many unforeseen things that happen that if you can't ride those waves, you know, you will never persist. And so a lot of the reason that people look at failure differently has to do with their mindset.
And that mindset is something very important, because the way we view the world impacts what we're able to do. And setbacks are something that we all face, but anticipating them and understanding that it's just part of the process and the way to our overall success will allow us to jump over some of those obstacles that are in the way. And we've talked a lot about your book, Ditch Your Inner Critic at Work. There are a lot of great insights on it that expand beyond this interview. I mean, Susan covers really well, like, if you want to know, like, time versus money and, like, valuing your hour, like, she goes into a really great breakdown in her book as well. But right now, Susan, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
Okay, so two come to mind immediately. I might have to think of a third. So one great book, especially for your audience, is Entrepreneurial You. It's by Dory Clark. And actually, I'll mention that another one of Dory Clark's books is Standout, which is How to Create Your Breakthrough Ideas. Entrepreneurial You is her latest book. And in this book, she interviews entrepreneurs that from all different walks of life, all different industries, and how they've come up with their ideas and made them successful. And, you know, the fact that it's based on interviews with people that have already done it, where they also talk about their failures, is really, really valuable for anyone that has started their own business or is thinking of starting their own business. Another one of my favorite books is also a relatively new book out within the last number of months. It's called The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. So if any of you have employees, or whether it's your own business or not, how you create an environment where people feel engaged has much to do with micro moments, as they call it, as the Heath brothers call it. And they have incredible stories in this book of how small moments can make a huge difference in how someone views themselves and their relationship with others. It's also based on scientific research, which, as you probably know, is a big favorite. It's a hot button of mine because it's not just self-help. So that's another one. I guess I've said my three, but the other one would be Daring Greatly by Brené Brown.
Susan, thank you for those awesome book recommendations. Those will be over at the show notes, markaberti.com/E144. And for Breakthrough Success listeners who you may not have a lot of time to read books, but you want to listen to audiobooks, you could get a free month of Audible over at markaberti.com/audible. That link will also be in the show notes. And before we wrap up this episode, I'd like to flip the tables a little bit. So, Susan, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I would say to you that the one question we need to be asking ourselves is, what is standing in the way of our happiness? And what would make us happy? What would make, I'm asking more than one question. What would make our lives worth living? I think that is the question, because we only have this one life and we're busy and, you know, we have family, and we really should be taking a step back and finding out what's worth it. Why are we doing what we're doing?
Susan, thank you for giving us those great questions. That's a lot we could think about reflectively, as we could learn a lot about ourselves just by asking questions like those to ourselves and searching for those answers. And I'm very appreciative of all the insights that you've shared to Breakthrough Success listeners. And if you guys want to learn more about Susan, keep in tabs with her, definitely get her book, Ditch Your Inner Critic at Work. That will be in the show notes. You can also just get that on Amazon. And Susan also, like a lot of people, has her own website and some other places where we can find her. So Susan, why don't you share with us where we can find you in addition to your book?
Absolutely. So my website is Positive Workplace Partners, one word. And I just want to mention to your listeners that I have some free ebooks on that website. One is 25 Tips for Making a Successful Career Transition. And another one is a workbook called Are You in the Right Job? So anyone who goes to my website can download those books. They're free. And I'm happy for people to connect with me on LinkedIn. I would say if you do connect with me on LinkedIn, let me know, please, that, you know, you heard me on Breakthrough Success, so I know, you know, where you found me. And I'm also on Twitter, at Susan Peppercorn. So please feel free to connect with me on my website, LinkedIn, Twitter, and I'm also on Facebook.
Susan, thank you for sharing all of your great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Mark, it was great to be here. Thanks a million.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markaberti.com/retweet.